We are celebrating today the most auspicious occasion of the appearance of that illustrious, most glorified personality who is the spiritual master of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who upon their first meeting impregnated within Srila Prabhupada's heart the instruction to take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread them all over the world in the English language. We have assembled today to humble ourselves to worship the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Om Vishvapad Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. By His causeless mercy, He has sent three of His very exalted, surrendered servants to give us their merciful association today. His Holiness Srila Kavi Chandra Maharaj, His Grace Shriman Bhima Prabhu, His Grace Shriman Devaki Nandan Prabhu. If I wanted to speak of their wonderful Vaishnava qualities, we would have no time, so please forgive me, but I will speak only a few words. His Holiness Srila Kavi Chandra Maharaj has been one of the great stalwart disciples of Srila Prabhupada over almost three decades. He is known and loved by the entire Vaishnav community for his utter steadiness and dedication never to deviate from the pure teachings of Srila Prabhupada, either in his life or in his words. One of the great pillars of the Krishna consciousness movement. Recently, he was in Germany. He had just been in a coma for several days. The doctors felt that it is a miracle he did not die of a terrible disease. And I went to his bedside. He hadn't practically spoken a word to anyone. He was just coming out of his coma. And when he saw me, he looked at me with such love and compassion. He melted my heart. And I said, "Maharaj, how can I serve you?" He was so thin and had medicinal tubes in all of parts of his body. He was being kept alive by all sorts of machines and everything at that time, it appeared. I asked, "How can I serve you?" And he said, "Help inspire the devotees to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books." Such magnanimous souls care nothing for their own lives. They only want to dedicate their lives to give compassion to others. And what is the greatest compassion? To give Srila Prabhupada's mercy to others. And what was Prabhupada's compassion? To give Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mercy to the world. That was his constant meditation. So today we have a very illustrious representative of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada carrying on the great mission of Guru Parampara. Let us all very enthusiastically welcome Srila Kavi Chandra Maharaj to Shivaji. His Grace Bhima Prabhu is very well known and loved throughout our whole society as a man who truly protects and preserves the dignity of Srila Prabhupada's mission. He has performed years and years, decades of austerity promoting Srila Prabhupada's book distribution, and through his wonderful Vaishnava behavior, he was the temple president of Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir for many years. And over the last year or so, he has been away, and it has been our prayer that he would return. Because he's a person that has such transcendental maturity in his dealing with Vaishnavas, in his presenting and understanding the Siddhanta of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that I am very, very grateful to him. Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir is in very, very transcendental, capable hands under his sublime leadership. And we are all hoping that we can somehow assist him in his wonderful service. Let us welcome Sri Bhima Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath. His Grace Sriman Devakinandan Prabhu has been very, very steadily serving at Sri Radharas Bihari Temple for approximately 20 years and has been one of the great pillars of the temple. He has been tirelessly preaching, collecting funds, distributing books, leading wonderful ecstatic kirtans like this evening. And especially, he's always very kind and merciful to me. I'm very grateful that he has come to join us tonight. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. Srila Prabhupada explains how in this age of Kali Yuga, people become very much overcome by the lower modes of passion and ignorance. Advaitacharya, that great avatar of Lord Krishna, descended into this world to give everyone the chance to perfect their lives in pure, unalloyed devotional service. But he saw that people were so addicted to sinful activities. People were so much contaminated by Mayavad and impersonal conceptions of Vedic knowledge. Even people who were so-called pundits and pious religious people, they were simply worshipping various gods and demigods for material benedictions. There was no talk about devotion to Krishna. There was practically nowhere heard the chanting of the holy names, which is the only means of deliverance in this age of Kali. Upon seeing the desperate, terrible condition of humanity, he felt himself incapable of helping them. So he went to the bank of Ganga with a vow that he would cause the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, to personally descend, for only he could deliver the fallen souls. So with loud cries, worshiping the Shalagram Shila with Ganga water and tulsi leaves. He called out for Krishna to come and give his causeless supreme mercy to the world. In reciprocation to his prayers, the most munificent, merciful of all avatars descended, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kicked out all misconceptions and established the ultimate truth of pure unalloyed devotional service, establishing Krishna as a person and every living entity as his eternal servant. And the only verifiable means of purifying our heart through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, he entrusted the dignity of his teachings to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains, from the six Goswamis was Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Pandit, and Srinivas Acharya. Soon after that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others. But as this world has its nature, gradually everything deteriorates. The Lord has to appear again and again, either personally or through his servitors, to re-establish the principles of religion. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samustapanaradaya sambhavami juge juge. So as the time went on, the pure teachings of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which is the real, true hope for the deliverance, for all living entities to return to their eternal constitutional position in the spiritual world. It became corrupted and deteriorated by unscrupulous people. Srila Prabhupada explains, by the time the 19th century came, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not even be respected by learned people because there was so much debauchery and concoction in the name of his teachings. Srila Prabhupada explained that one very famous sannyasi known throughout the world, he used to call Lord Chaitanya's movement the sex religion, because there were so many illicit sex activities and concoctions going on in the name of Lord Chaitanya Sampradaya. So Krishna sent one of his pure divine representatives, Srila Thakur Bhakti Vinod, to reestablish the sanctity of the pure teachings of that golden avatar who has descended to deliver the Yuga Dharma for everyone. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was terribly disturbed to see what was going on in the name of Lord Chaitanya's mission. He found all these deviating so-called sampradayas, which were nothing but concocted sects. He wrote a book listing 13 Apa Sampradayas. For instance, the Aula, the Baula, the Jati Goswami, the Saki Beti, the Sahaja, all having their different ways of interpreting the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and justifying materialistic, egoistic pursuits. Some were misconceiving Lord Chaitanya's very nature. Some were justifying illicit sex. Some were justifying basing one's position on caste rather than qualification. Bhakti Vinod Thakur revealed the truth and exposed the nonsense of all of these deviating sects through literatures, through preaching, through propaganda, through poems and beautiful songs. He established Lord Chaitanya's real teachings again, as the six Goswamis have written. But like Advaitacharya, he felt that he was incapable. The world had fallen into such a mess, and the only real hope for the world, Lord Chaitanya's mission, was also in a mess. Out of his deep, sublime compassion, in the mood of Sri Advaitacharya, he prayed to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to send his own personal associate, a ray of Vishnu, to descend into this world to help him to establish the real teachings of Lord Chaitanya and spread them throughout the whole world. It was Thakur Bhakti Vinod's desire, his dream, that people from America, from Russia, from Africa, from Europe, from all parts of India, they would all gather together in Mayapur and with arms raised, dance and chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu through the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. Krishna will always fulfill the heartfelt prayers of his surrendered devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the district magistrate of Sri Jagannath Puri. And he was also given by the government the charge of the Jagannath temple because there was so much corruption and unregulation there. It was in the holy land of Sri Jagannath Puri that the compassionate prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was fulfilled. We are celebrating that event today, which is the anniversary of the appearance of the ray of Vishnu, the intimate associate of Radha Krishna in their form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It is on this day that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in Sri Jagannath Puri as the son of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his beloved chaste wife Bhagavati Devi Dasi. He was named by his father Vimala Prasad. And from his very earliest childhood, he was exhibiting the symptoms of the illustrious person that Krishna would reveal himself to be throughout his life. At this time, I would like to request each of our respected guests to speak on the life and teachings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for the purification of all of our hearts. Please, with rapt attention, absorb each nectarine word that emanates from the mouths of these devotees. For on this special day, to hear the glories of such a great soul is to receive the mercy of him. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Srila Kavichandra Maharaj, will you kindly begin?
Mukam karoti vachalam, pangam langayate girim, tat kripa tamaham vande, shigarundi natarane. The introduction was a little too much. When Srila Prabhupada was asked to say something about his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he said, "What can I say? He is a Vaikuntha man." So that's all I could say about Radhanath Swami also. But we have some information. Prabhupada did sometimes tell small things, and we've gathered different information of the history of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. I'll just stress on one aspect. He was, of course, very precocious, and his father trained him from right away in Bhagavad Gita and working on the press and working on editing books. Even when he was a very young boy, he was doing things like that. At the age of 7, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita, and he could also explain it. So he was very extraordinary, and he was working like that, helping his father, as Bhaktivinod was engaging all his children and helping his mission. Otherwise he didn't want to bother with them. So he was very, very fond of the press and the transcendental literature. He called the press the Brihat Mridanga, or the Great Mridanga. He said, when we play the Mridanga, no matter how loud we play it, you can hear, oh, I don't know how far, it depends on where you are. In Tokyo, you have to get about 10 feet away, and then you can hear it. In Bombay, I'm sure the same thing. There's so much other noise. But the books, that's heard around the world, making a big beat, and the press is making a nice sound. In one of the temples, he had the press like in a room that was like right over here or something. So the Didi could see the press and hear the press running. So he was, he wrote also very many books. I don't have that book at hand, that there's a list, and it's very awe-inspiring, mind-boggling how anyone could write so many books. He traveled extensively, also opening temples. He opened 64 temples in India, which were all very flourishing in his day. He was, we say, Rupanuga Viruda Apasiddhanta Dwanta Hadane. He wouldn't tolerate anything that was against the Siddhanta of Rupanuga, of Rupa Goswami. He was a follower of Rupa. Even though Rupa Goswami was 400 years, 50 years before, still he was a follower. We're also called Rupanugas. So he was, a devotee is supposed to be tolerant, but he would not tolerate any deviation. Like Srila Radhanath Swami was explaining, especially before the time of Bhakti Vinod, there was a lot of deviation in the name of Lord Chaitanya's movement, the Sahajiyas, all the different kinds of Sahajiyas. So Srila Bhakti Vinod preached very strongly and established again that this is a very respectable and ancient true philosophy. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took it up even more. He was feared very much by the Mayavadis. He was called Singha Guru. Mayavadis, nobody wanted to argue with him. He had a perfect memory. We heard this morning, that's why he got the name Siddhanta Saraswati when he was very young. His teachers in the school gave him that name because he could learn everything very quickly. So he did a vrat in Mayapur. He took a vow to chant 1 billion names. So he was sitting in Mayapur, at the place which is now the Chaitanya Gaudiya Mutt, down from where his samadhi is. And he was chanting like Haridas Thakur, 300,000 names every day. That's something like 190 rounds. And eating just some rice and beans soaked in water. It took him 9 years and 3 months and something like that. But then he was, someone convinced him to come to Calcutta and begin his preaching mission. And he had, they were renting a small house and living there. That house is on Ultadunga Road in Calcutta. It's a very nice pilgrimage to go there. That's where Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati on the roof under the jackfruit tree. There was, I don't think it's there anymore, is it? But it was growing, and Prabhupada was also born under a jackfruit tree, his original birth. That one is still there, right? So he told him right away, Srila Prabhupada was a little skeptical because he had met many, many sadhus. His father was always inviting sadhus, and most of them, they were bogus. Prabhupada was describing how his father was very liberal with the sadhus. He was always giving them charity. And there was one, they used to go to see him once a week or once a month and bring him things. And Prabhupada, he said they would bring much ganja. And the devotee said, what? You know, why are you bringing him that? And Prabhupada said, that's what he wanted. And he said, at least in India, for the sadhus, that wasn't considered so bad. But, so Prabhupada was saying there's so many sadhus, and his friend was telling him, you must come and see this Bhaktisiddhanta. So finally he went. And when he heard him speak, he said he was very, very happy to see that Lord Chaitanya's mission was in good hands. But he challenged, he said, how can we preach this around the world when India's, you know, controlled by India, by England. First we have to, you know, get rid of the British. And Bhaktisiddhanta didn't like that idea. He said that it had nothing to do with anything like that. And he said, you're an educated man, you're good at English language, and you should preach this in the English language. So Prabhupada was a young grihastha, but he didn't think he could do it, but he took the, in his heart, he accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as his guru. And he said he was always thinking, how could he do that? Even though he was trying to do his business. And then, so the, what I can, my favorite story is, came later. Srila Prabhupada had some association. He was a grihastha, and most of the disciples were sannyasis and were with their Guru Maharaj more. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't worry about him. He will do everything in time. The others were saying he should move in the temple. And but one time Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta at Radhakund. He was staying at Radhakund in the house that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had. He was teaching on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam for many nights. And people were questioning, why doesn't he talk about Radha Krishna? But he said, first you have to understand, you know, these basics. So there's a nice picture in the Lilamrita. Prabhupada had his son with him. The others were sannyasis. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started talking about the Ultadunga house. They had later been donated one big temple at Bagh Bazar. It's still there in Calcutta. And it's a nice place with marble. And Bhaktisiddhanta was saying, when we lived in that small house and everybody was going out preaching and we didn't have much, we were very happy. There was no problem. But then when we got the, he named, somebody donated, he named that gentleman, said, now we have trouble. And if I could sell the marbles and print books, he said, I would do it. I would rather print books. Because different devotees were thinking, who will get this room and who will be the proprietor, and they had become distracted. So he told Prabhupada, there will be fire in the Gaudiya Mutt. But you stay aloof, don't get involved. And he said, if you ever get money, print books. This was at Radha Kund. This was his personal and intimate instruction to the disciple who he knew was going to carry on the mission that he started to go all over the world. So Prabhupada said he took that very seriously. He based his movement on that instruction. Actually, Prabhupada didn't even have money, but he printed books. He took it so seriously. In Delhi, he just printed the books on prayer and hope, printed a few books at a time, or printed, you know, a few pages, and then went and got a little more money and printed some covers. And he never waited until he had enough money. He did whatever he could. So Srila Prabhupada never forgot that. He pushed and pushed his disciples. He stressed everywhere. I was looking today in the folio to find different quotes, but I don't remember most of them. But Srila Prabhupada, we know Bhaktisiddhanta, he said that he became more English than the Englishman. He even dressed, you know, like English. He had some nice shoes and long coat, and he was quite tall. If you see pictures, he was much taller than everyone else, and very powerful, because he was a Naishtiki Brahmachari. When he went to the university, he started a celibacy club. And in the beginning, he had a few other members, but they all dropped out. He was the only member. But he never even thought about, you know, he never even in a dream or at any point had any concern. He was, Prabhupada said, from the board of directors of Lord Chaitanya. So his movement was going on. Jayapataka Maharaj says that the post office, you know that small post office in Mayapur? That was built just because he got so many letters. He was so popular, he got bullock carts full of mail was coming. So they had to make, because nobody's in Mayapur, you know, it's nothing. Nobody can read, the farmers there. But because he made his temple there, then... So he got one for preaching, he got one car. At that time, there were very few cars in India. He had a big car, one of these long cars, you know, where there's no top and you sit up on the back, like a king would ride in or a big politician. And factually, at that time, only maybe a few big politicians or some kind of representatives of the king or the British. And he would use that car to go preaching. And of course, wherever he went, then everybody would come to see the car. Even now in India, if you go in the village with a big car, they might, you know, everybody's... Even when I was a child, my father had a big car, and when he would take me with him to some small town, and everybody would come. I didn't know enough then to preach. But Bhaktisiddhanta, when the crowd came, then he would preach very strongly. He wasn't enjoying the car. In fact, later he was very angry at his disciples for using the car for their own purposes. He said, the car is for preaching. If you have to go to the doctors, you should walk. He said, they're eating too much and sleeping too much. But the car was for preaching. He was very, very strong like that. So he had a very strong movement, especially while he was alive. Everything was very dynamic. But, as we know, even though he gave instructions to make a GBC and rule like that, they did it for a while, but then somehow or other they changed and they did not follow his instructions. And everybody became independent and the preaching has stopped. But Srila Prabhupada carried on and established a society which is carrying on. Now we're trying very hard to get all these other mutts. They're still functioning. Prabhupada said they're all God brothers, and according to everybody's capacity, everybody is preaching and making some devotees. Some are doing much more than others. But today, due to the efforts of Jayapataka Maharaj and one Damodar Swarup in Mayapur a few years ago, formed a Saraswat Vaishnav society. We had a meeting every year in Mayapur, and a lot of members, especially younger members of other temples in Mayapur, came and very interested to follow in the footsteps of ISKCON, to be more dynamic and more strict in their preaching. So today they had a big Harinam combined with many, many Gaudiya Mutts marching from the Hula Ghat up to the Chaitanya Mutt, to the Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and having Guru Puja, Vyas Puja. Then from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until they had scheduled anyway, until 8 o'clock night, a big pandal at ISKCON where everybody's coming together. They published a joint Vyas Puja book. And when we mentioned that last year, they said, oh yeah, they're all publishing one small one, you know. But they didn't think to combine. So by Prabhupada's influence, they're reviving this mood of bhakti. He had a very united mood. He just wanted to preach. He had one disciple who became the leader that was more of a manager, and the other devotees used to complain all the time. He was taking money and things. He said, but he's managing, you cannot manage. Because he's managing, you can all preach, so don't worry, just preach. Said, I'd have to pay someone else to manage anyway. So some say he wasn't such a great manager, but actually he was very sharp, practical. His English was better than anyone else's English. His Bengali also. I asked Subhag Maharaj, because we see we have two translations have been done of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, but nobody translated the purports, which are written by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. I said, why isn't nobody translating the purports? He said, oh, this is very hard. He uses words nobody knows. And he said, I went to some of his godbrothers and I asked them, you know, what is this word? They said, we don't know. And they said, we asked him, why did you use these words? He said, that's the only word that says it. The only word that gets it exactly is this word. So we have to pray that some devotees will really dig in, because we need those purports. Prabhupada, of course, his Chaitanya Charitamrita purports are all based on the purports of Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Oftentimes he's just translating them. He's a very prolific writer in Bengali and English. If you want to learn English really properly, you can study the Brahma Samhita purports. But actually they seem very, very difficult, but if you examine, a few words are very esoteric, but the subject matter that he's speaking, the level of Krishna consciousness that he's describing, is so exalted that no matter, you have to use such words. So we're very, very fortunate that he appeared. Prabhupada said so many times, he said, I'm doing something wonderful, but my only credit is that I strictly followed the order of my Guru Maharaj. This was Prabhupada's humility. And if you study the life of Bhaktisiddhanta and the writings of him, then you'll see that Srila Prabhupada perfectly followed in every way, in organizing and in philosophy, and he had complete faith in his spiritual master that he should preach to the English-speaking people, and he did it. But from that, because the British had kindly conquered the world and taught English everywhere, then from books being in English, you can approach someone in any country of the world. You can always find someone that speaks English. And more. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta started something very big to Krishna consciousness for the whole world. not just India, but the whole world. So we're very fortunate. We have many, many followers of many Saraswat Vaishnavas in Prabhupada's line. And we have to stick. We want to also be never tolerate any deviation, any upasiddhanta. Like I have upasampradaya, useless sampradaya. They deviate, upasiddhanta, useless conclusions that are not the same as the conclusions of the previous acharyas. We don't want. So Prabhupada gave us perfectly in his books the teachings of his spiritual master, which he obviously studied very, very deeply. He quotes them all the time. When you read Srila Prabhupada's purports, you find so many times he's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta and he's quoting verses that he quoted. And he said, if you have life, what?
Preach.
You can preach. How you say that in Bengali? Huh? Prana? Prana achadana karaha prachar. If you have life, you can preach. So we have life, at least we have symptoms of life. We move about, we eat, we make noise. So we should utilize all that for preaching. Chant the holy name of Krishna, dance for Krishna, and increase the Goshtanandi is the person who wants to increase the number of devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta suggests that. Not that we don't have bhajan, but the Goshtanandi is a bhajanandi who preaches. He's absorbed in chanting and hearing, but then he goes out and he gets everyone else absorbed. So we have others who can speak much better. So I'll stop there. Thank you all very much for coming and hearing about Bhaktisiddhanta and pushing on his mission of distributing many, many books. Prabhupada, when the first devotees were distributing books in America, he said, you will get the blessings of my Guru Maharaj thousands of times. So we can, that's still available to anyone who dedicates their life, we can get the blessings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Jai. Hare Krishna.